Dit is een podcast van EOS Mondriaan. Techniek Innovatiehuis.
Talk of the Tin.
We zitten hier in de business lounge van de Spodek Arena. En het is hier ontzettend warm binnen, mensen. Maar ik hoop dat we er toch een leuke podcast van kunnen maken. Ik zit hier onder andere met Jaap Visser. Jaap, je mag jezelf zometeen eventjes gaan introduceren. Natuurlijk zit ik hier ook met Ernest Adriaans. En ik zeg natuurlijk omdat dat vanuit Mondriaan de man is die gaat over e-sports en het excellentieprogramma e-sports. Sanne, een van de studenten van de school voor ICT die deelneemt aan het excellentieprogramma e-sports. Hartstikke leuk dat je ook meedoet. En I hope I pronounce this correctly, Ursula. Ursula Klimchak?
Correct.
Oh, oké. We gaan het vandaag hebben over e-sports. Natuurlijk in combinatie met het onderwijs. Daar gaan we een beetje ons licht over laten schijnen. Maar allereerst, Spodek. Weten jullie wat dat betekent?
Nee.
Nee.
Oei, dan ga ik natuurlijk helemaal af als iemand van ESL die zegt van nee. Iets met het ruimteschip?
Je zit in de buurt. Ursula, do you know what the name Spodek means?
It's like UFO.
Yes, correct.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Het is een vliegende schotel. Dat is de Poolse omschrijving voor
Ik zat er niet ver vanaf, hè?
Dus. Nee, heel goed. Oké, dan gaan we nu over naar het Engels. Dat maakt het voor Ursula een stuk makkelijker. So we're going to switch to English. First of all, you are from ESL. Can you tell us a little bit about what ESL is and what your function is here?
Sure. ESL is an esports federation or an event organizer, basically. We're part of the EFG group and we organize gaming and esports events, competitions online, but also like physical, like in Spodek, where we are now. And I'm responsible for the Benelux region and for Malta. And in the Benelux, we have our own national championship. So that's basically below the Challenger Series to grow into the professional esports world where you have Pro League and IEM Katowice, for example. And I'm the managing director. I'm in esports for like 12, 13 years and responsible for Benelux for like 8.
Okay. And we are now live at the Intel Extreme
Masters. Yeah.
Masters, yes. What kind of tournament is that? Is that one of the biggest in the world?
It's one of the biggest, for sure. Yeah, it started in 2013. It was the first event. It was also the first major esports event in the world. And now we're here for the 11th year, I believe. Yeah, it's 2013. We had COVID in between, so we had to cancel that event.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of the biggest, together with our Cologne event.
And what are they playing here?
A lot of games, but Counter-Strike is the number one game here at the stage. So we have different products spread out of the expo as well. So we have StarCraft. We have the different sport games around. R1, a racing game we are playing now, and of course ESL Impact.
Okay,
the women leagues.
And there are some of your heroes here, Sanne.
Hello.
What kind of heroes did you already watch?
I watched G2, I watched Na'Vi, Heroic, Team Liquid. It was very fun to see it all in the arena, and it was just really nice to see the crowd going. Last time as well, we went to Antwerp. We watched it all on the big stage, and I just love seeing it.
Yeah. And who did you go on a picture with?
I went on a picture with Bengs, and I also went on a picture with Diha. It was really nice to meet him.
So there are big stars in this
scene.
Yes, absolutely.
Ecosystem community. That maybe.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. You, that I mentioned that before to Ernest. You call it ecosystem, and in my my mind, ecosystem was something completely different. But maybe Ursula, you can tell me something about what do you mean? What is the definition here for ecosystem?
When I look at esport, I don't like when it's like constantly compared to sport. I don't like those questions when people are saying like, is esport actually a sport? Esport is a separate branch. Mm-hmm. It's like, is an ecosystem that is growing from the need of people willing to be better and better all the time. It all started back in the days when people were just playing games and they were looking for ways to get better. So they were watching others and then they want to see more, and then they want to see how they're playing. So when there was, you know, a need, that need was, you know, addressed. And once it was addressed, more and people were interested in how others play, and they wanted to see. So that's why how the ecosystem started, you know, growing. It all, you know, it is all down to the need of being better. And it doesn't matter if it's sport or esport. If there is a need, the ecosystem will just create itself for that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. I'll come back to you about your work as a performance coach. We just heard Sanne speaking. Ernest, you are from the excellence program of esports within ROC Mondrian, our school. Why is it so important to have such an excellence program, and why is it so important to be here with students?
The essence of our program, is to bring students together who might be following a different study. So there are different students who are on the academy of IT, but also of technology and engineering. So it's different studies that they've picked initially.
Yeah.
But we've looked at what does the student have that every student does, and in what way can we bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at what people do now, 98% of the students that we asked are playing games.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, let's see what's their motivation and their combined interest, bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they do now outside of their normal curriculum that they're following.
And what do you teach them in that excellence program?
So for us, it's very important to understand what their individual human skills and interests are. Why are they motivated? What drives them? I mean, there's skills that they will get in school, as in calculating how a triangle, mathematics, English, Dutch. But what are those other skills that you actually need outside of whatever industry you're going to work in? It will be communication, working together. How do you deal with discrimination? How do you deal with stuff that isn't taught in those subjects that you normally get in school?
Hmm. Well, that's something that interests you a lot, of course, Ursula, because you own Mindflex Coaching and CLG Performance Coach. What are your thoughts about that for students?
I mean, being the head of players development for ENDS and CLG is kind of showing the players a direction. So when you're in a, as you said, like when you're in this professional environment, quite often we need to start from the basics. So what does it mean to be a gamer, and what does it mean to be an esport athlete?
Mm-hmm.
And the esport athlete is a person as a sport, like we have the same habits as in sport. What does it mean? It means that we care about our health, we care about what we eat, how we sleep, how we work in a team. So this is what Ernest said, right? Teaching people, the young generation, social skills. That is very important for esport, because the teamwork comes from communication, from the need of being heard, and from the need of, like, you know, telling people something. And at some point right now, in a gaming environment, young people tend to separate themselves very much. Just me, myself, computer, and that's it. And that social skill is very, very missing.
Mm.
And we do have in the environment people that are amazingly skilled in game. They're mastermind. They're like top one ranks in all the rankings, but they will never be esport athletes, mm-hmm. because they lack communication. They lack the social skills that are needed in the esport environment, and one of those is actually being able to cooperate with others, I guess.
Yeah. And if you lack that in esports, then you obviously lack it in almost every sort of profession.
Yes, and you know, being around people is also how comfortable you're on stage, because if you're competing on stage, you're among people, right? Yeah. So if you have anxieties, if you're afraid of people, if you don't like being in a noisy place, then it means that esport cannot be for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It also comes down, like, how the young generation is being raised, what kind of attention we put in among people, young people, and what's the focus, right? Because we can just, you know, allow the kid to play computer games for 6 hours and we don't have to do anything, but then what the kid will do in the future, right? That's the question.
Yeah.
And this is like everything outside of the in-game skills, because that is a coach, macro games and gear skills, that is for the head coaching. But myself, I'm shaping the players with everything that is outside of the game. So that's cooperation, communication, stress resistance, depressions, anxieties, conflict inside of the teams. There's so many things to work with. But yet, you know, when we take a kid to the team, we need to kind of expect them to behave in a specific way, but also we need to teach them what are our expectations and how we want this team to operate.
And how does ESL works with e-sporters that have those issues like Ursula addressed? Do you, when you recognize that, do you send them to a performance coach, or do you...
It changed a lot. So in the beginning, when we have the first time we had our events, and we had some people, some players that we had, we want to take an interview. They were quiet and they were like, what should I say? I'm not sure if I want to do this. And so we gave them some media training in the beginning. That's something we did ourselves like 8 years ago or something. But now we don't have to do that anymore, because you see the more professional teams get also more professional help to make sure that they're are performing on different levels. To come back to your story, but like a second ago, is there was a research in Holland like a week ago that said that like young people, they're afraid to call somebody.
Yeah.
Because there's communication involved. Like you have to speak to somebody instead of writing them a message. That's a little bit more anonymous, right?
Yeah.
So I think also that gaming can help in our I would say normal life. I hate the word, but it's like helping in the communication part that we have when we talk to people.
Well, and Ernest will agree, the excellence program is not meant for us to produce professional gamers, esporters. Of course, if they are going to be world famous esporter, that would be great.
Then we'll take the credit.
Yes. And a part of the money. we try to learn them all those skills, communication, working together, leadership, coaching, a healthy lifestyle.
Physical training.
Can you tell us something about that, Sanna? The things that you have learned this year that you're doing that excellence program, and the things that you, well, maybe upfront didn't know that you lacked them or just had them?
So in the beginning, I didn't, like, obviously I've watched a lot of streams, follow some teams and organizations, and I see the work that goes into it. But it's still a shock to see how much goes into it. So obviously, I think even this morning, scrolling through somebody's Instagram, and I'm seeing like how G2 has like their, obviously their physical trainings like every day, and how to just have the team bondings. And that is also very important of being in a team. And we do it the same. Like we have a field day, so get together, get to know each other better. We have meetings, like if there's something on somebody's mind, we'll sit together, we'll talk it out. And that is very important to be able to talk to each other like that, because that is obviously how you grow as a human being, not per se, like they said, to create professional esporters, but just skills. Like obviously I can sit in a classroom with 30 people and you can teach me math and English and all of that stuff, but who is going to teach me how to be able to talk to somebody if I'm, for example, if I have my first job interview, I'll be sitting there like, I don't know what to do.
Stressed.
Luckily for me, my mom is a very, very social person, so she brought me around everywhere, so I had to talk to a lot of people, so I'm not scared of that. So for me, that was not really the issue. But I'm happy to see that there is such a thing that can teach some people, because I also know some people in our esports program who are like, what do I have to do? Mm. They're approaching me. Mm. Do I say hi? I'm like, yes, you can also just wave and say hi, or you say, how are you? But it is good that they are being taught how to do certain things.
Yeah. Ursula, you are also an ESL esports conference speaker.
Yes.
And I read that, and I've heard, of course, that your topic was esports at its peak. Are we there yet?
Yes.
And maybe I'm wrong, but my conclusion was no, we're not.
No, we're not. Definitely not. There's always a room for improvement. But like over the last 10 years, we've made huge steps.
Yeah,
I would say we definitely moved from gaming into the esports. So the environment is more professional. The players feel more comfortable. They're being taken care of. They've got far more support from organizations like ESL or any other organizations that are actually organizing the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that, I mean, I'm in esport 10 years, so that was something that was, at the beginning of my career, was missing. So the players were starting like with having boot camps in a rented flat, basically, where there were just like 5 computers packed, mm-hmm. and, you know, they were just getting up in the morning, sitting, you know, in front of the computer straight away, not eating breakfast, mm-hmm. And just like playing the game for hours, right?
And ordering pizza at the end.
And ordering pizza all the time, that's true. But right now, like most of the top teams, they have fantastic offices equipped with like the top-notch, you know, equipment that is needed to make their life, easier. We have, you know, mental trainings. We've got reaction time trainings. We put so many focus on the player's development that 10 years ago, you would say like none of that would happen. So right now we kind of are defining the needs, what else is needed,
mm-hmm.
to make those players more comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and to make the show better, you know, because like with the players it's all about the audience, right? A player is a marketing banner, is mm-hmm. a role model,
mm-hmm.
so right now if we give those role models to the young generation, we need to know what we're given. We mm-hmm. want to give positive role models. We want to show how important it is for them to train, to take care of themselves. We are not looking into promoting something that would be destructive for the young generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why right now we're in the moment of like defining the final needs,
mm-hmm.
to be able to have, you know, names like, you know, Lewandowski, right?
Yep.
So many young people are looking up to him.
Yep.
We are having those names in esport, but we want to have more of those names, I guess. And that's where, you know, the development and like the cooperation between teams like mine and like ESL or Riot or any other organization, that's why where the cooperation and communication is mm-hmm. super important.
Yeah.
And how do you look at the role of the media in that?
For the players, the media, and especially like social media, they're very destructive. Especially with all the betting that is happening, and quite often the players are exposed to a lot of hate, which is pretty painful because not everyone knows the team situation, the inside of the team. I don't know, like, even into situations like the player can be sick or can have, like, I don't know, like, bad situation at home, a funeral or something. And then if the team is not winning, then obviously there's a lot of hate in it. And the player is just like, if they're in a negative moment on their life and they read social media with all the hate and everything that is happening, it's difficult to handle that much. So I feel like the more we can protect, I guess, the players from that and train them how and when to use social media, the better. In many organizations, including mine, we also give players tips like, hey, you know, you're going to tournament, whatever happens, do not use social media during the tournament, in between the games, do not check Twitter or like Instagram or whatever. We want their head to be in the right space. And yes, after the games, they tend to beat themselves a little bit with reading what's going on and just like rewatching. It's not helping. So it's also like a training needed to show them like, do you want to boost your confidence or you want to lower your confidence. If you want to lower your confidence, great, read it all. Mm. If you want to boost your confidence, let's rewatch the game and let's see what else could we do better to not to make those mistakes next time.
And I saw and heard also in your presentation that one of the chapters was also the meaning and the importance of equality and diversity.
Yes. And love that.
Well, go ahead.
I'll sit back.
No, but that's one of the reasons that we asked Sanne, because she's the special one within our school almost, which is strange. I mean, it's 2023, and she told us that in her class, you're the only woman, right? In class, or maybe another one?
There's one more. In my first year,
there's
one
more. Okay.
It's not, but we're getting there. You know, four years ago, I was in one of the high schools in Poland, and I was also lecturing the esport class. Mm-hmm. And there were like 18 guys. And then it was like all day lectures. So I finished at 3. I was leaving the class, and then there were like 4 girls standing. And it was like, can we speak with you? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, what's going on? You know, but we also play professionally, but we don't want to tell it to the guys because they're laughing at us. Mm. But we would love to kind of meet and talk and like learn what they've learned. Yeah. Right. So that was for me like the worst wow moment I had in my career. And I was just like, I'm a girl, I'm a woman, and I want to support women as well. So events like ESL Impact, this is something that is like very close to my heart, mm-hmm. because I know how difficult it is for the young girls to kind of show like, I want to do this too. You know, it was the same in sport. If you compare the female sport and the male sport, football, for example, how many years later the female competition mm-hmm. in football started, right? Yeah. There is always a difference in the level, right? But I'm super happy that right now we have a place, whether that's actually ESL or any other tournament, where the women can compete. Mm-hmm. And I was also saying it in a conference, we need show matches now. We need show matches where, for example, 2 Navi girls play with 3 Navi guys. We have a show match with like any other orgs that have a female mixed team. Let's make it a show match before the big event. Let's mm-hmm. show that girls can also compete. And those type of things will help us to shape the role models, because we have teams that are supporting the female teams a lot, but they're doing it in the background.
Yeah.
Nobody sees that.
But do you think there's a difference in skill level in esports?
I mean, there is a difference. There is a little bit difference, but I would also put it not only on a skill level, but I also put on how the girls play. Because I'm in a lucky situation that I coach CLG Red and also the ENS team, the male and the female teams. So the communication is totally different. The style of play is different. It's just like a totally different dynamic. So that's why it will be fun for me to see how those differences will mix in the team, even if that is a show match for fun. And I don't know, the fund could be for charity or anything, or supporting diversity and inclusion. But if we have that, and if we show that to people, like, hey, you know, names like Simple, for example, support any other, you know, players, that would be amazing. We just need more of that. So right now, I'm super happy that we have those. And right now, the Navi female Polish team will be playing finals with either Furia or Nigma. So I'm cheering for them very, very much. We actually dropped the tournament already, but... this is what we need. And you would be surprised how many esport players actually are just like coming by and seeing and just like giving autographs, but at the same time looking how the girls are playing. Mm-hmm. So more of that is happening, which is heartwarming. So absolutely supporting that. And the more, the better.
And maybe the surprise is that at the end, there's a leverage of skill level, of overall skill level, if you have the mixed team. I'm really curious how that all...
Yeah, and it's good to hear, because like I don't have any proof, but like I hear here and there that, for example, I don't know, like from Simple was actually training one of the girls in Navi just to help her skill up. This is what we need, right? When there is a coach of a male team that could also support the female team, that's amazing. This is what is happening with the academies. Now we need that with female teams.
And can you tell us something about, Jaap, how ESL can support that form of equality or diversity?
I think like ESL Impact is a good good step.
What is ESL Impact for the listener?
ESL Impact is a league we for women that we put up maybe you can answer better 1 year ago, two years.
It was in 1 year ago, yeah.
And it's a competition, but it's also during our main event, so we don't put it on a side event and a smaller. Of course, it's a different stage, but that's why I'm looking forward to have a show match or something to showcase it better and do more with it. At the end, I'm not responsible; I cannot decide it, but that will be cool. I think we all will want to have that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good step, but it will also be a good step to have it more, even more integrated. Also, not only on the stage, but also backstage, I would say, like training sessions, boot camps, and share the environments we have. And if you look at the local competition we have in the Benelux region, it will also be maybe a good idea to look at if it makes sense to have ESL Impact in the Benelux, but then on a smaller level. The name is not ESL Impact. But a competition like that.
Mm. Like a local league, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it also starts somewhere small, right, every time. So we should also...
Absolutely, I feel like we have those regional leagues. So my team is playing in NA, but obviously we have the EU leagues. But it's great to see, the improvement. And it all goes down, if there is a need, and if there's an announcement that we need girls for the tournament, we need female teams for tournaments, they will show up.
But is there a need, Sam?
Yes.
Maybe you can answer that, because then we can decide what we're going to do.
Would you join Micro Impact in the Netherlands?
I would, but the thing is, I don't think I'm that much of a very skilled gamer. But obviously, I like the game for fun. I'll want to get better. But if I had the talent, I would. I think it's a really good thing to have these bigger tournaments for girls, or you said, a show match. I would love to see that. I think the entire arena would go crazy for it.
Absolutely.
Because this morning we had some presentations, and already back in the hotel, one of our other classmates of the esports programs was like, I cannot wait to go and watch Nikma. As soon as the break started, he was like, I'm not going to get food. I'm going to go watch Nick. He was really excited to go watch, and he's still sitting downstairs.
And actually, it's good to see that we've got female good role models present there. Look at Goosebreeder, right? She's around for so many years.
Yeah.
She's active. She's promoting. She's supporting the girls' events, doing giveaways and so on. We need more of that.
Also, Evie de Portre, about speaking peer people.
Shox is amazing. So we've got all those women that want to do things, but I feel like what we need right now is just the cherries on the top, just to gather that and show that there is a space for us. Right?
Yeah. How can we attract more girls/women students for that excellence program?
Oh, good question. I think it has to do with being loud. I mean, if you're a brand, you're trying to be loud. If you have a good program, you have a good product, you're trying to be loud. We've now built the first selection of esporters within Honor School. And I think it's very cool if they can be loud too. They will be able to hype the next generation, to show them what has been done, what can be better, what went wrong, what are the pitfalls, and also for example, they've been to this ESL event right now, how can they transfer that same enthusiasm or the learning perspective that they had over here and bring it to the next generation of women who are on our school.
And Jaap, the last couple of days you've met our students. You've met our school and my colleagues. How do you think that you as a company or as a brand can contribute to the students' future in maybe esports? Or how can they contribute to your development?
Yeah, first of all, it was a really diverse group already. So that's good, right? So different angles, different topics, different interests. So that's good. I think as an organization, we should open our doors more for students. There are future employees, there are future maybe esports athletes. We are looking for tons of talents within our ecosystem, I would say.
Yeah.
So not only building up events, doing marketing, but I'm also talking about like
shocks, logistics.
But also like talent that are casting the games, players that compete during those matches. So we have to open our doors more and more. No, I just want to say that's also the time we need. If you look at esports, it's still a young sport. I call it a sport. I think it's a sport, but it's still young. So what you will see is that there will be more focus on this kind of things in the future. Mm. Also, as if you look at our presentations, One World for Everybody, you see it already. That's important. It is important, but not only for us, also for the brands. Look at Gucci; they did the same thing. So this is a matter of time. And we have to open the doors. That's it.
Mm. Can I ask a question to Ursula, because you're a lecturer as well? How do you see esports and education coming together or growing together? Or what can esports mean in terms of educating people?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can combine those both topics in it, because what I wanted to say is that organizations I work with, so ANS and CLG, we do have fantastic internship programs. So like when the students want to go try themselves out and so on, see like the ecosystem, the environment from the inside, this is amazing. So I feel like those internship programs are super valuable, and for, you know, people like you, for students like you, that would be great to see the inside of the org, right? So I guess we're like, we need that, you know. From the educational side, which you just asked, we need to realize one thing. If you want to be an esport athlete, doesn't mean that you cannot study at the same time. In my team, Snappy, he finished master degree. He has a family, he has a kid, and he's playing professionally. It's not true that you need to sacrifice your life, sacrifice your study to be a pro player.
Mm-hmm.
There are many players that are actually completing degrees while doing their careers, and that is absolutely amazing, because that's the way to shape the education. What would you do if you have a studies just about esport? It would give you nothing. But if you have, for example, project management with the esport specialization, if you have psychology with esport specialization, if you have physiotherapy with esport specialization, this is the direction. I'm looking for the cherries. So like in every other sector, whether that's business, whether that's sport, whether that's, I don't know, like whatever we are studying, we need to be looking into specializing people, but the basic knowledge is still needed. Mm. So we cannot skip that part, that this is the knowledge we need. Now, let's show you the specialization programs, how to apply it to esport. And that's the thing. I don't think we have that many specialists at the universities, because I've noticed that a little bit in Poland. But not only in Poland, I've heard here and there that there are issues with it, that sometimes people that do not work in esport, they try to teach those subjects. And quite often they're like not true based on what's happening in the environment as well. So I feel like based on the forum yesterday, I'm really glad that the European Parliament is actually looking into professionalizing that too, because we need to teach quality. We cannot just teach, you know, subjects because the word esport is popular.
Mm. Yes. And it happens sometimes too much.
It happens, yeah. Because if you put esport, it's you know, attractive. Then maybe, mm-hmm. you know, some private schools can get funding for it, and then we know how it goes, right? And then the physical education teacher is just, you know, putting the kids in front of the computer to play for three hours or 4 hours. That's not esport. Mm. So I feel like it all starts with understanding what does the person want to do in esport, what's the career path, and then just shape it the right direction.
That's also exactly what we're trying to do those last 3 days here, to showcase that esports is not only organizing event or compete in that event. It's like broadcast, marketing, sales. It's
PR,
it's a difference.
Everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, Sanne, as the student in the room here, maybe a difficult question, but if you look ahead, let's say 4, 5, or 10 years, what are your personal hopes and dreams when it comes to esports or your professional future?
I think for as a woman, like obviously I want to see more women on the big stage. I want to see more games because obviously I love the game. I want to see more games as well working with educations because there are some games out there who teach you how to be like a professional computer builder inside. There's an actual game for that. You also have modded games like that actually teaches you how to code while playing the game itself. So I would love to see that as well to progress in the future. And for me in the future, like at the forum, the host was making a joke how he was just basically stalking a company until they hired him. And we have been actually joking about the same thing. And we were just saying like, you know, after we're home, we're just going to go and stalk a company and just keep on sending our resume until they hire us.
Good for you. You have Jaap's email?
Yes, we all wrote it down.
Oh my God.
Okay, prepare your mailbox, yes. Jaap.
I'm not joking. This morning we were looking on ESL's website. Mm-hmm. So we actually skipped through all the career paths that are open. And
it's a lot, huh?
It's a lot, but sadly not a lot of them are within Europe. There are a lot in Dubai, but
a lot of remote as well, so you don't have to work at an office anymore.
That's what I told my classmate Rachel as well, because I had a friend who did that as well from the Netherlands to America. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, there's a lot of remote work now, so maybe you don't have to move to Dubai. But we'll be looking out to see what we can do in the future.
What is important also, like if I look back at my career, so I was, before I started eSport, because that was my passion, I've always been a gamer, and that I was just like, okay, I want to combine my experience. I was a business coach and senior manager at the corporation, and I decided to quit that to start working eSport. And my work with like in eSport for the first 4 years, it was work without penny. Hmm. I did not get paid.
Yeah, same here. So
doing it purely out of passion. And the learning opportunities I had back then, that was something that was very valuable for me. And then with time comes the experience. With the experience comes the finance, right? And then you can start growing in the environment. I've noticed a trend that young people nowadays kind of apply to jobs without experience, and they got like very quickly disappointed that, oh, you know, I did not get a job. Would you try yourself working without payment just to get experience, get that passion, right? You need to get those internships running. You need to get that experience to be able to know what to do. We cannot put a psychologist without experience in front of the team that is competing on a high level in the moment that is critical. The person needs to know how to shape that player, what to talk about, what to direct. So we are not killing the player's motivation, but we're just boosting it. So the experience at some point when you apply for the job is more important than any payment. And then with time, it's good to climb up the career just to realize, okay, I'm ready. I can pick up a big job.
And there's also what Sean Clark, we had with a session like this afternoon of Sean. He started as a player and then became commentator. But with that experience, I can tell you, he didn't earn a lot of money with commentating in for ESL back in the time.
Yeah.
But the experience he gained was important to make those steps into the ecosystem, I guess. So, yeah.
Patience, that's everywhere. In-game, outside of the game, in life, we need that.
Well, I feel like we can talk about this topic for hours and hours, but I would like to wrap it up a little. But I have a question maybe for all of you, please help me with that. Let's say within 5 years.
In eSport, 5 years.
Yes, oh my God.
Well, you said earlier that 10 years ago, well, there's a big difference between how it was 10 years ago and now how it is now. But let's say 5 years from now, what do you guys think the biggest difference will be? Will there be a complete equality between men and women in eSports, or is it something technical, or is it something else? What is the biggest change within 5 years from now, you think?
For me, I would love to see eSport back to back with the sport during Olympics.
Okay.
Now the viewership of like the regular sport is dropping a lot mm-hmm. because the young people, they're interested in seeing role models in esport.
Mm-hmm.
And to attract and to inspire young people to do more sport is actually to place sport and esport next to each other. Because what if they'll just speak and get inspired or interested? So for me, if we want to look at development and like look at what is needed, I feel like we needed to, I'll say it badly, kick out the kids from home, basically, just to show them that, hey, in esport, you need to be as athletic mm-hmm. as in regular sport.
Yep.
So that would be a dream for me.
Okay. Yeah, for me, it's always a tough question, to be honest. But I get the question sometimes, even 3 years is hard to predict in esports.
Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, of course.
In an ideal world, yeah. I think hopefully we will learn a lot from the international things we are doing also on a local level. So hopefully we will have an ESL impact of sort of kind of product in the Benelux by then. Because it's not a discussion anymore. It's not, it becomes relevant. It becomes like it has its own following. It has its own, or maybe even mixed teams. So hopefully, you know, we don't have those conversations anymore where we have to set up special leagues because it's just normal. It's not a question why we should do it, but we just do it.
Mm.
Hopefully that's, but hopefully not 5 years. Let's say hopefully in 2 years, but I do. Because 5 years is a long time in esports.
I know.
I would go with maybe more games like as in VR, as what they're showcasing downstairs, where you actually have to be physical while you're in, because I have VR back home and you're actually moving around like a madman. Like a chicken without heads. So you really got to keep up with whatever is happening in that current game that you are playing. Because I play a lot of Beat Saber, and then you also have to go down. You have to go left, right. So you got to be flexible enough to go through all of that. So it would be nice to get those two combined.
And last but not least.
Yeah, what I'd love to see in 3 to 5 years from now is that I work at this school, vocational school, but I also work at a secondary school. So what I'm trying to do is to be as vocal. I'm an evangelist to make sure that esports or some form of... what I try to tell the schools is that if you teach a kid who doesn't speak Greek any kind of subject in Greek, they're not going to pick it up. And esports or gaming is a language that they're speaking right now. So if you can implement it at school, at a young age, make sure that you talk their language to transfer the knowledge that you actually want to transfer to them.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that will work at primary level, secondary level,
mm-hmm.
vocational, university, doesn't matter where, but that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay.
But as a host, you cannot not answer this question as well, right? So you're part of the group.
Oui. Didn't expect that one, yep. Well, I think I have a 13-year-old son who is also a gamer, where he plays FIFA. But what I see from the students, and of course from Ernest, and he is a very important factor in this, is that they're learning so much. Like what Sana said, what they do not learn in traditional classes. And we as a school, and especially at our tech campus, we are constantly looking for innovation in education. And I think for the future, it's very important that we learn and try to adapt all those new things into all sorts of professions. And I think that the 21st century skills are even more important than all the traditional skills. And it's going to develop more and more and more. So I'm very grateful that we have the opportunity in this early stage of esports in education to be a part of it and to maybe make history with it. All of us in the complete branch.
Cool.
Okay.
Accept it.
Yes.
We accept it. Definitely.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for being in the podcast. I know you're eager to go back to the tournament, of course, the IEM tournament. And who do you hope will win it?
actually, like, it's hard for me to cheer because, like, we're already out. But, like, I'm definitely cheering for the Navi girls to win the female one.
You too?
Yeah, me too.
Let's go Navi. Let's go Navi.
Let's go Navi. Okay. Well, thanks again, Jaap Visser, the managing director of ESL, Sanne, student of the School for ICT at ROC Mondriaan, and a wonderful excellence program esports student, Ernest Adriaans, what are you? The head coach?
The head coach.
What are you doing?
Chief esports officer. That's okay. I don't know.
And the lady with the most beautiful name here, Ursula Klimchak, the performance coach. Thank you so much for being here. And hopefully we'll meet again next year or within 5 years. And we
will. It happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too.
Tot zover deze aflevering van Talk of the Tin. Heb je vragen, opmerkingen of goede ideeën? Stuur ze dan naar techniekinnovatiehuis@rocmondriaan.nl. Je kunt alle afleveringen terugluisteren via je favoriete podcast app of via de website van het Techniek Innovatiehuis. Tot de volgende keer.